But once again, this is Jim Rowe, your host, gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 21st year now bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this day. We thank you for the radio station and for all of the prayers and provision over the many years. If this is your first day tuning in today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years and supported this broadcast and this ministry, we say thank you to you. And we hope you also continue to come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your schedule. For those of you who have been with us the last few weeks, you know we're in a series on health and healing. And this is a big, broad subject in the Bible. Many, many times Jesus encountered people who needed healing, who needed a touch of healing and a touch of power from him. And so today we're going to look at some examples of great faith and how people received healing when they exercised their faith. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to start there. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on in Kenya. We're having a start of the short rain season, which lasts for about 2.5 to 3 months, but the rains aren't as long as in the spring. They're not as substantial, and so we're starting to plant. By mid-August, we'll have our acreage, our corn acreage and beans and such planted, and so we're getting the ground prepared right now, preparing for the short rain season. We're also in the construction phase of a primary school there in Makunda Village, right next door to the children's home. We have an acre of land, and so we're in the construction phase. We're working on building number 2 of 3 buildings that will be part of this primary school, and we expect to have eventually 200 to 300 students here in this school, and it will be an outreach to the village. Many of the children in Makunda come from very poor families, mud houses, and the children drop out when they're in grade 6 or grade 8. Very few of them go on to secondary school. And so we're going to give these children a good education, steeped in a Christian environment. It'll be a place where they will learn about Jesus and sing songs about Jesus, and at the same time get a good foundation in their education. So we're asking the Lord, trusting the Lord for $200,000 to $300,000, and we're already in the construction phase of building number 2. So we'd like to have your support. We invite you to support this project. If you have any questions about the project, details of the project, let me know at pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can get you details of the project, architectural drawings, if you want to see that. And so we invite you to come and help us get this school up and going for the glory of God and for the children of Makunda. Well, today we're going to be talking about great faith leads to healing. And beloved, this is an important message for us to understand. Great faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you have great faith, and all you have to do is exercise that faith. And so Jesus has a couple of situations here that he encounters people who exercised great faith and it led to their healing. And so you have to exercise your faith. You can receive healing. I suppose Jesus can heal you without great faith or without you exercising your faith, but he wants us to exercise our faith, to engage with him and to have an expectation that he is willing to heal us, that he is able to heal us, and that he can heal us when we exercise our faith and we encounter the living God. And even though Jesus is not here, we have the Holy Spirit of God to give us counsel, to give us wisdom, to advocate for us, and we have the presence of God that we can enter into through prayer, through worship, and all of these ways we can enter into the presence of God. And so the healing and the miracles of God then are available to us when we enter into the presence of God. Well, in Matthew chapter 8, there's a very interesting situation where Jesus rewards a man for his great faith. And this man was not one of the children of Israel. He was a centurion from the Roman army. It says in verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to the centurion, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And so he was astounded that this man, who was not a Jew, who was not of the children of Israel, that this man had great faith, even greater, because Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith even in Israel." And so Jesus was commending this man and saying, "The faith that you have is even greater than the children who grew up with me, the children who grew up in this place of Israel, who have known the Jehovah God, the Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. They've known him through their whole history and their whole lives. And yet your faith, the man, an outsider, a foreigner, your faith is greater than theirs." And so he was really praising this man, and he was encouraging him with his praise. And then Jesus goes on to say, "And I say to you," verse 11, "that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And so he's saying the kingdom of heaven is open for those from the children of Israel. And then he said, "But the sons of the kingdom," or the children of the kingdom, "will be cast into the outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus is saying there will be those of the Jews, those who have known God throughout their history, God's chosen people. Some of them will be in hell because they refused to believe that Jesus was sent for the Jews. He was sent, and he always said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And so Jesus was not honored in many ways by the Jews. He was mocked and ridiculed by the Pharisees and the religious elite of that day. And so Jesus is honoring this man, and he says many of those of the children of God will be in hell. They will be in a place of torment because they refuse to believe. And then Jesus caps off this conversation with the centurion in verse 13. Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that very same hour. Well, that is a very good testimony and a teaching to us that Jesus can heal anyone. Doesn't matter what your culture, doesn't matter what your race or what your prior beliefs are. If you come to the Lord Jesus, if you humble yourself before him and you come to him and you put yourself in the presence of God and you come with expectation and with humility and with great faith, then you can receive healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the next situation that Jesus encounters, and this is a very famous passage of scripture, many of you know it, I'm sure, in Matthew chapter 9, the next chapter, in verse 20, Jesus is encountered by a woman who has a flow of blood and has had a flow of blood for many years. And you can imagine how miserable this would be, how much torment she was in. This had been happening for many years. And so this woman comes to Jesus, and he is surrounded by people. He's in a crowd. She makes her way through the crowd because she has it in her mind that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. She doesn't need a big audience with him. She doesn't need personal attention. She just wants to touch the hem of his garment. And so she comes when he's surrounded by people and says she's had a flow of blood for 12 years. And she came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, if I can just only touch his garment, I shall be made well. She believed with extraordinary faith. She believed that she didn't even have to have him lay his hand upon her. He didn't have to speak any words to her. All she had to do, she thought, was just touch the hem of his garment. And she would feel his power come into her. She would feel his power, and she would be healed. And so when she touched the garment, verse 22, Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. He didn't even have to be told what she was sick from, what her ailment was. By a word of knowledge, he knows. By a word of knowledge, Jesus knows everything about the people around him. And he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And that woman was made well from that very hour. And so Luke, in the 8th chapter of Luke, he also talks about this very same situation. And he talks about this woman who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians but would not be healed by any. And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me. And so Jesus perceived that the power, that somebody had touched him. Jesus perceives all things. When you come before the presence of God and you ask for healing and you ask for the Lord to give you a touch of healing, beloved, he knows that power is available to you. He knows that power has gone out of him and it is available to you. And so if you come with the same humility and the same great faith that this lady came to Jesus and just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and she believed that that would be sufficient for her healing, and beloved, it was. And so you have to exercise your faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so when you come to God, you exercise your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't just say, well, God, if you're here, or if you're there, or if you hear me, or whatever, God, do you even know about my situation? Do you even know what's going on in my life? And beloved, God knows every detail of your life. Jesus knew the detail of this lady's life. He knew that she'd been in torment and suffering and bleeding for 12 years. He didn't have to be told about it. And so when she touched the hem of his garment, she received the healing that she believed for. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. Beloved, exercise your faith and you shall receive healing. Speak healing over your life. Give thanks. Give thanks for any healing. If you see even a little thing happen with your situation, with your infirmity, with your sickness, with your mind, with your instability in your mind, take it one day at a time. He is faithful in the small things. Then the Lord will give you more. And when you show faith in those small things, then God will say, oh, I like that. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more to show that you have faith for bigger things. And as you cross those bridges of faith, maybe something small, as you cross those bridges of faith, maybe you need to just practice praying for 5 minutes. And as you get the faith and the strength to pray for 5 minutes, maybe then you can go on to 15 minutes. Then you can pray for an hour. Maybe you can If you have physical disability, like a leg that isn't working right or a hip that's not working right, start out by asking the Lord, give you the strength to walk one quarter mile. And you start there and you thank the Lord when you finish that quarter mile. Say, thank you, Lord, I got stronger in walking that quarter mile. Lord, I'm going to walk 1/2 mile tomorrow. Lord, after that, I'm going to walk a full mile. And if you do that, as you're faithful in the small things and the Lord rewards your faith in the small things, then he will give you more. He will give you more strength. He will give you more than so you can show your faith in the bigger things. He who comes to the Lord must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, beloved, I hope that's you. I hope you are diligently seeking the Lord today in your answers for your infirmity and your sickness. Well, the third situation that we're going to look at today, and this is a very strange case theologically. Many people have debated over the many years what this case is all about, what it entailed for Apostle Paul. And so I bring this up because most people, when they think about healing and God's power to heal, they say, well, God doesn't heal people in every situation. And it appears that with this particular case, Apostle Paul and the thorn in the flesh, it appears that he did not receive a healing. But we are going to look at this situation today, and you do your own study on it, you do your own research, and you come to your own conclusions. I believe that the healing that Paul received was that he was satisfied and content in weakness. I believe that is the healing that he received. It was a place, he came to a place in his mind where he was satisfied and content with weakness. So we'll look at this situation. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you can read this, and it's a very astounding chapter in the Bible, and it comes right after chapter 11, where Paul details all the ways that he has sacrificed and suffered for Christ. And so when you put chapter 11 in context with chapter 12, we're not going to look at chapter 11 right now, but if you look at it in context with chapter 12, then you can see that Paul has suffered much for the gospel, and that he continues to suffer for the gospel, but God gave him an experience here in chapter 12 that astounded him and gave him great revelation, but it also prepared him for the persecution and the suffering that he was yet to experience, that was still going to come in his ministry and in his life. In chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities." And so I'm going to stop right there and just give an overview of what's going on here. Paul was caught up to heaven. That's the plain and simple truth of it. It happens all the way through the Bible, many people through the Bible. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was caught up, Ezekiel was caught up, Elijah was caught up. Many people in the Bible are caught up to heaven, even in the natural, even on this earth today, right now, people are caught up into heaven, either in the spirit or in the body, they do not know. It's a very common thing. If you are in ministry and you start talking to people who have ministered for many years, you'll find out many of them have been caught up to heaven to see the realities of heaven. Some have also been caught up or caught down, you would say, to hell, to be shown by the Lord the realities of hell. And the reason God does that, he wants us to know that the Bible is true, the words of the Bible are true. He wants us to know so that we can come back and give a testimony to people about the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. Myself, I've been caught up to heaven. I was caught up many years ago when I was praying and fasting, saw the reality of the river of life coming down out of heaven, and the Lord had me to drink of that river of life. I dipped into that stream, and I drank from the river of life, Revelation chapter 22, and so that river, then, I know it personally, and that is my testimony. I know that river personally, and I know Jesus is the living water. I know that personally. It's not just words that I've read in the Bible. The Bible is living and active, and I have seen and verified, because God showed it to me, that that river is the river of life, and it actually exists. So Paul says, I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I was caught up into paradise. I heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. That's the key right there. Paul says, I don't boast in my strength. I don't boast about how strong and how great and how wonderful I am. I boast in my weakness, and I boast in my infirmities. I believe that's what God was showing the Apostle Paul, and he did it, and did it through a very peculiar way that Paul is going to explain here in just a minute. Verse 6, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Paul says, I don't want anybody to think of me any greater than the humble man, the servant of God that I am. And verse 7, here's the key. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. He's talking about the revelations that he experienced and encountered when he was in heaven. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, Jesus' strength, is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, beloved people who have studied Scripture, studied this chapter over the many years, have debated, and people have written books and chapters of books on this, because Paul says, I received a thorn in the flesh that was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Well, what was Paul talking about? People say, well, it wasn't really a thorn in the flesh. It really wasn't a fleshly ailment. It wasn't a sickness. It wasn't infirmity. It was just the persecutions, and I shouldn't say just, because those are monumental in their own right. It was the persecutions and the suffering that Paul suffered in spreading the gospel throughout Macedonia, Greece, Asia, and that it really wasn't any kind of physical infirmity or sickness. And they use that to justify why we shouldn't pray or expect Jesus to heal us when we ask for healing from him. But I think this was a thorn in the flesh. I believe it had something to do with Paul's eyesight. in other passages of Scripture throughout the epistles, references to Paul's poor eyesight, and even in one situation, people say, I wish that we could pluck out our eyes and give them to you. And so I believe it had something to do with Paul's eyesight, and his eyes were either painful or they were failing in his vision. And so I believe it was actually an infirmity, a thorn in the flesh given to him, and a messenger, just as Paul says, a messenger of Satan. It came from Satan. Sin comes from Satan. Sickness comes from Satan. It's part of the fall of mankind. It all comes from the devil. God doesn't give us sickness. He doesn't give us sin. He tempts no one. And so I believe that God allowed this thorn in the flesh to come into Paul's life, and I believe it had something to do with his eyesight. And so Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord, take this from me. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is the healing, and that is the answer to Paul's prayer, to take this thorn away from me. He received the healing that he is strong when he is weak. God's grace is sufficient for Paul. It's sufficient for you. And when you don't receive the healing you expect one day, ask again, expect it the next day. But in your weakness, God is making you strong. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all these many years and the support that has been given to us. You can contact us at Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can go to PayPal, use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. You can check us out on Facebook, see pictures of the ministry, facebook.com/JimRowe. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. God will be blessed. You will be blessed. And the kingdom of God will go forward in Africa and here in the USA through these radio broadcasts. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.